I want to tell you that Jesus wants you to receive his gift of love. That's just the greatest thing I could ever tell you. And I want to begin by saying this. It's December 10th today. And maybe, does anybody have their tree up yet? Okay. We have our tree up. I got it last Sunday. Food Max. Nice, almost 9-foot tree. $24.99. Best deal in San Jose. And I didn't have a coupon. That's their regular price. But it was a good deal. But does anybody have gifts under their tree yet? When do you usually put the gifts under your tree? Some people wait until just a few days before, but there are some times where people, as soon as it's Christmas tree time, they start putting the wrapped gifts under the tree. And here's the whole thing. It's December 10th. Let's maybe jump ahead a week to December 17th. So it's December 17th, and you get up in the morning, and there's gifts under the tree. And you go, and you can look at the gift, right? You can see whose name is on the gift. But you say, oh, it's to Mike from Don. Or it's to Mike from Daniel. And I can look at Don and I can say, Don, can I open this? And what will Don say? No, it's not Christmas yet. And so imagine, there you are at your house, and you've got the Christmas tree up, and there's all the gifts there. And you go, and you know the gift is for you, and you can't open it yet. Well, there comes a point where there's that Christmas morning. What's the earliest? I am sure the earliest I've ever gotten up was around 5 a.m. as a kid. Now, some kids get up earlier than that, but I think I was a fairly good sleeper. We got to stay up late on Christmas Eve. I think the reason we stayed up late on Christmas Eve was to make us tired so we wouldn't get up early. Now, what I did when I was a dad, I bought a digital alarm clock, and I put it, Emily and Laurel shared a room. And so Laura was on the bottom bunk, Emily was on the top bunk, and I bought this digital alarm clock, and it had, and Emily, I think Emily started reading when she was like 5 or 6. She was Emily. And the whole thing was, kids, you're not allowed to get out of bed until the clock says 7 o'clock. And they were always allowed to go to bed with one toy. So what would happen is Emily would wake up at 6. Maybe Laura would wake up at 6:30, and they would just quietly play in their bed with their doll or their little Polly Pockets, whatever they had. And then as soon as it was 7 o'clock, Emily would say, "We can get up now." And it was time to get up. Well, here's what they learned years later, is if we were out really late the night before, after they fell asleep, guess what I would do? I would go into their room, and I'd move the clock back an hour or so. And so it said 7, but it was really 8:30. And because we were like tired. We were tired parents. If you've ever seen our kids, you know they would tire anybody out. And so that's what we do. But it's Christmas morning, and the kids are up. It's 7 o'clock, and they run out. And here's the whole thing. Do they get to open the gifts on Christmas morning? Absolutely. But imagine what would happen is it's Christmas morning, it's Christmas day, dinner has been served, all the guests have gone, all the family's left, and you go over to the tree, and there are gifts that you gave to people in your family, and they're just sitting there, they're not unwrapped. How would you feel? It's like, you know Bob Smith, our Silicon Valley friend, who is just, you know, he doesn't exist really, but Bob Smith, Silicon Valley guy, works too much, thinks that money is what will make himself happy, maybe his family happy. Imagine, hey, Bob, I got a gift for you under the tree. Yeah, I know. Well, don't you want to open it? No, I'll get to it someday. Is that how we usually celebrate Christmas? Wouldn't you think? How could you not want to open a gift? And that's why we come to the passages that we're going to look at this morning. And here's the whole thing. Jesus wants you to receive his gift of love. He's giving you the gift of salvation. He's giving you the gift that he is the Savior. And he's offering the gift of love to you. And just like on Christmas morning, if there's a gift with your name on it, what should you do? Open it. Cheer, unwrap it. And that's what we want to understand. And so here's the big idea this week. The big idea is this. A gift under the tree isn't your gift until when? Until you open it. It may have your name on it. It may be for you. But it's not yours until you receive it and you take it and you open it. That's what we want to look at in terms of Jesus and his salvation this morning. So here are 3 points I want to give you. Number one, Jesus is God's gift to the world. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. Jesus is God's gift to the world. Remember the big idea? A gift under the tree isn't your gift until you've opened it. Jesus is God's gift to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus is God. And God took on flesh. He came as Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and he was given as the gift. Think of these verses, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We have been saved by grace through faith, not by works. It is the what? The gift of God. And then Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but because of God's great mercy. Salvation is a gift. Jesus is God's gift to the world. And so I can't imagine, I just think. So what do you guys want for Christmas this year? Okay. What would you like for Christmas this year? Some clothes? Maybe a new phone? Can you imagine, there it is, that box, Christmas morning, and you don't, I don't want to open it right now. Yes, you do. You want to open it as soon as possible. God's gift to us was Jesus, the Savior of the world. Number two, the gift of Jesus may not be what you want, but it's what you need. Well, this brings up a whole bunch of horrible, terrible Christmas memories for me. Do you know why? I didn't want clothes. I wanted what? I wanted toys. But guess what would happen every Christmas? Michael, you have to open up this gift first and this gift second, and you have to open up this one last. You're not allowed to open up that one. And I knew I shook the gifts. I knew which one I wanted to open first. But no. Michael, you have to open this one first. And so you open it up, and oh my word, it sucks. And then there's the gift from my grandmother. Do you know, until I was 40, my grandmother thought I was a boy's size 10? It's like, do you know what it's like to try and fit on a sweater that is 10 sizes too small and say, thank you, Nan. It's perfect. But eventually, after the socks, after the sweater, after the stuff that, I don't know where my sister shopped, but I think they spent as little as possible because I was the brother. Finally, you get to the good stuff. But here's the whole thing. I began to think years later, you know what? I'm really glad in the middle of winter I got that sweater. I'm really glad that I got those new socks. And the funny thing was, those gifts weren't what I wanted, were they? But they were what I needed. Luke chapter 1. Let me read for you. You can call this the Christmas story, but it's the beginning of the book of Luke. And at Luke chapter 1, verse 26, Jesus may not be what you want, but he's what you need. Look at Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 27. And the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled. In other words, I wasn't expecting this. She was greatly troubled. and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The gift of Jesus may not be what you want, but it's what you need. Now, we tend to think of gifts under a tree, but imagine an angel showing up to you, a young girl, maybe 14, maybe 15, maybe 16 years old. Imagine an angel showing up and saying, "Hey, guess what? You're going to have a child, and that child is the Savior of the world." How would you respond? No wonder in verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled. No wonder in verse 34, she says, "How will this be, because I am a virgin?" In other words, she'd never been married. She'd never been with a man before. Talk about a gift you didn't want, but God says, "This is what you need." Wow, let's keep reading. The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son." That will be, his name will be John, known as John the Baptist. "And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Jesus wants you to receive his gift of love. A gift isn't yours until you've actually opened it. The gift that Jesus wants you to understand is that, first of all, he is the greatest gift ever given. Number two, God wants you to allow him to come into your life and to receive the gifts he wants to give you. The gift of Jesus may not be what we want. Do we want to sacrifice? That's what it means to be a believer. Do we want sometimes to be ridiculed for our faith? That's what it means to be a believer in Christ. Do we want to sacrifice and live differently than all those people around us? But that's what God calls us to. Imagine you're in middle school. Imagine you're in high school and you're the only believer. God is reminding you, "Don't stop trusting me." You're in middle school and you want to be popular. You want to have friends. And sometimes your friends say, "Well, you can be my friend if you do this or you do that." Well, Jesus is saying, "Be my friend first, and I'll look after your relationships." Sometimes our friends want us to do things we know we shouldn't do. Nope. Jesus may not be what you want. You know, "I want to fit in. I want to have friends. I want people to like me." But Jesus is what you need. You need to like yourself. And sometimes we do things that later on, I look back now, and I'm like really old, right? But I look back at things I did to try to make friends, and I think to myself, "Why did I do that? What was I thinking? Why didn't I just say, hey?" And I suddenly, you know what I look back now? I look back on my best man in my wedding was my friend Bruce. And everybody liked Bruce, even though Bruce never wanted to go to the parties. Everybody liked Bruce, when even though Bruce said, "Nah, I'm good. I don't need to do that." How come I didn't stand up to peer pressure like that? Sometimes I look back and I say, "I wish I could do a do-over." But the thing is this, Mary simply said, notice this, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." What Jesus is saying to us, whether we're in middle school or high school, whether we're young adults, older adults, whatever we are, Jesus is saying, trust me, receive my gift of salvation, receive my gift of guidance in your life, and notice this. Let it be according to your word is Mary's response to God by simply saying, God, I will trust you. Even though I have opportunities to cut corners, even though I have opportunities to maybe go down some paths I shouldn't go, I'm going to trust you. So Jesus is God's gift to the world, number one. Jesus is God's gift, and he may not always be what we thought we wanted, but he is what we need. Number three, the gift of Jesus needs to be opened by you. We had such a ritual in our home. Okay, here's how it went. Dad, Mom, Julianne, Michael, Karen. That's how gifts were opened. And Karen, whose birthday was on the 8th, so I sent my sister a happy birthday, a day late, because I was on California time. And Don reminded me, don't forget to do this. And it's like, oh. But here's the thing. Do you think I would scream if Karen wanted to open up a gift before me? Yeah, it's my gift. Sometimes, though, my sisters would be so happy. They knew they got something special for me later on in life. My parents would give them money. And they would want to open the gift for me. It's like, oh, wait till you see what we got you. And it's like, I can open that. Thank you very much. Sometimes, don't you have kids like that? I'll open it for you. No, I'll open my own gifts. Thank you very much. But then later on, I let my kids open my gifts for me. I think because, well, we won't get into whether I was awake or not. But the thing is this. The gift of Jesus needs to be opened by you. Look at this other Christmas passage, John chapter 1. Notice this. In the beginning, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, going back to creation, and John is talking about the God of the Bible. In the beginning was the Word. In other words, the fullness of all things. That's the word he chose. Because remember in Jeremiah where it said the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah? All through the Old Testament, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came. But it was always be by an angel, or it would be by a prophet, or from a burning bush. Here in John 1, the word of the Lord comes, but how does he come? As a man, Jesus. And that's what John is saying here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Just so you understand clearly, this is not just some being. This is not a God. This is the God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, how does it begin? In the beginning. And so he says he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. It's very interesting. I'm going off my notes now, so pray for me. But Genesis chapter 1, it's very interesting. In the course of just the two verses, you have God the Father. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then we have the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit hovered over the waters. And then you have the Word of God. God spoke. Which John tells us, you have the Father, you have the Spirit, and you have the Son, all present. God revealing himself as three distinct persons at the very beginning of creation. And that's why he will say a few verses later, let us create man in our image. Well, here he's focusing on Jesus. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Again, John the Baptist, we called him. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Let me just stop right here. He was, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Think of Christmas. You know there are gifts under the tree, but you don't know what's in them, do you? Why don't you know what's in those gifts? Because they're wrapped. Jesus was God's gift to the world, wrapped in human form, and people did not recognize him. Some people even said, you know, have you ever, it's like, oh, I don't want this, it's too small. It can't be a gift I want. And yet you open it up and it was a brand new watch. I'm too young to have a watch, but I got a watch. Or a beautiful piece of jewelry. I did not know you would give me this. See, sometimes things are wrapped up and we don't want it. But then we open it and it's the greatest gift ever. Jesus, it says here in verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. All my life I thought Jesus was just some guy. All my life I thought that Jesus was just some guy that tricked people. All my life I thought, man, why would I want to follow some guy? And I remember when my eyes were opened, and I suddenly said, what? Jesus wasn't just a man. He was God come in the flesh. And that's what the Bible teaches. And you mean he's how we can know God? I remember realizing for the first time that Jesus wasn't just some guy. When the gift was unwrapped and I saw Jesus differently. Wow. And so verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. But notice this, the gift of Jesus needs to be opened by you. Look at verse 12. But to all who did receive him, the gift isn't yours until you go to the tree, take the gift, unwrap the gift, and say thank you for the gift. The gift isn't yours until you do that. Notice what verse 12 says. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood. In other words, just because your parents are Christians doesn't mean you're automatically a Christian. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Just because I'd like for you to be a Christian doesn't mean you are one. Nor of the will of man. In other words, you're a Christian. I told you you are. No, it's not how it works. But born of God when you choose to receive him. You have to choose. The Word became flesh, verse 14 said, and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. That's our Jesus. What a beautiful name. What a wonderful name. What a powerful name, the name of Jesus. Because he is God's gift. And Jesus wants you to receive his gift of love. He wants you to receive him. And the way it works is this, is that it's not a gift under a tree. It is an offer made by God. You have to trust him. You have to follow him. Later on in life, my children would do things like for Christmas, I would get three free car washes. It wasn't a gift, but it was a gift. I mean, I wasn't holding a car wash in my hands. It was a promise. And sometimes those were the greatest things because we'd end up doing it together and have the best time washing that car. And in the same way, Jesus, you can't hold it. You can't grab it. You can't unwrap it, but you can receive the gift of Jesus. And so in John 1:12, when it says, to all who did receive him, he gave the right. This is God saying, go to the tree, take the gift that I'm offering you called eternal life, and open it. You have to do that. That's what it means to receive Christ. Have you received the gift of love that Jesus is offering? Let's pray.